All right. Let me. I guess what I want to do first is I want to explain to you what the purpose of this is. How many of you have ever done anything like take a spiritual gifts inventory or anything like that? Ever done anything to do to find out your spiritual gift? You have? Okay. Anybody else? No? All right. Let me just explain it to you before I get into it. What I'm hoping to be able to do today is to maybe give you a better insight into yourself as to what you may be given as a gift. But I want to do more than that. I want to be able to try and encourage you and brainstorm a little bit on how you can use that gift for God. A lot of times we do things, they have spiritual gifts tests to tell you what kind of gift you have, and then we say, oh, great, you have the gift for such and such, well, you should be a deacon, or you have a gift for such and such, and you should be this. My goal is, that's secondary. My goal is to be able to say, okay, if you have a gift for X, whatever it is, the next question I'm going to ask is, what do you love to do? If you had your choice to do something, what do you love to do? And then the key is to put both of them together to accomplish your gift, your ministry. When you do that, then you have found the key to happiness. Okay, and maybe what I just said doesn't make sense, but hopefully as we go through it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. We're just going through some preliminary introductory stuff. What is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift can be a talent or a manifestation you've never had before, or an enhancement of an ability that you may already possess. For example, me, as a young man, I had a big mouth. I was always the guy cracking the yo mama jokes. That was me. We get into contests where we start ribbing on each other, talking trash talking each other. And I would rarely lose because I would be coming back with all sorts of crazy stuff because I was quick and I had a big mouth. When I became a Christian, God took that big mouth and decided, okay, I want you to use that big mouth for me now. So lo and behold, I preach. A spiritual gift can be something you have that happened. You didn't even know you had this ability. All of a sudden, you start to, do things you never knew you could do. Both of them are a result of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on you when you come to the Lord. Now, who chooses your gift? Is it, if your father was a preacher, are you going to be a preacher? Or is it genetics? Is it your teacher, your pastor? The Bible says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. In other words, the Holy Spirit decides what gift you get. And even He changes those gifts based on the circumstances. When I was a young man active in my local church, when I left to enter the ministry, I was pretty active in my local church, and I would hear people saying, oh, we're going to miss you, who's going to do this now that you're gone, and who's going to do that? It wasn't a problem for God. There was a guy who'd been sitting in the church for a long time, didn't really do a lot of active stuff, but when Miguel left, guess who now started taking up the preaching schedule more? Who started doing Sabbath school lesson more? Who started getting more active? And he never did those things before and didn't even know he had that gift. So what I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit, he looks at the situation and he says, we need to have this here, we need to have that. And you lose people, it's not a problem for the Holy Spirit. He just gives those gifts to somebody else. We're the ones that get hung up because we look at people and their gifts, but the Holy Spirit doesn't think that way. He doesn't work that way. This is from 1 Corinthians 12. I should have said this first. This is not a sermon, so if you have a question, please, if you got something to say, you need to speak up, because this isn't a second sermon. I'm trying not to make it that. But I do want to share Bible texts with you. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. There are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Behind and through it all is God. He's working everything together to His will. Now, who receives spiritual gifts? Is it just the good-looking? Is it just those that have a good education? The Bible says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What that means is every believer has a gift from the Spirit, at least one gift. Everybody. So if you have accepted the Lord, you have been given something from Him to use for Him. Now, the Bible says every believer is given the manifestation of the Spirit. I want to make that clear. Okay, now what are the gifts for? And this is just from the text from Ephesians 4. Here are some of the things, some of the reasons why we're given gifts. One is to equip you for service. If God called you to do something for Him and He did not give you what you needed to accomplish it, that'd be pretty wrong. If you get a general that sends his troops off to Iraq and says, yeah, well, we're shipping the guns later. Right? That's not a good commander. God is no less of a commander. To build up the body of Christ, here's two things. If you want to grow as a Christian, you have to use your gift. This, to build up the body of Christ, isn't just like numbers to have more people in the church. It is to build you up. And you won't grow unless you start using the gift, start serving Him in some way. Verse 13 of Ephesians 4 says, till we all come into the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If I just, in those sections that I highlighted, the first one is unity of the faith. I have found that churches that fight because they have nothing to do. When a church is not working, they're bickering and eating each other alive. And if you've been a Christian, and if you've been in any different churches, you notice. If you got a church that they're at each other's throats, all you have to do is ask the question, what are you doing for your community and for your fellow man? Well, we're not doing anything. Well, there you go. You got nothing else better to do. Unity of the faith, using your gift. Knowledge of the Son of God. That's common sense. It should be, right? If you work to serve God and use your gift, you grow. You grow in your relationship with Him. Unto a perfect man. We think of the word perfect today as different than that word there. To me, the word perfect means you don't make a mistake. You're perfect. You can't mess up. The word perfect in that context is not that. It means complete, mature. It means that you grow, you become a mature Christian as you carry out your gift. And unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The goal for the Christian, right, is Christ-likeness. You'll never get there on your own. But God makes you more and more like Him the more you serve Him. All right, do I have to use my gift? This is one, believe it or not, I get quite a bit. Some people think that, you know, I don't want to do it, I don't need to do it, but the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10, as each of you has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And just to define a steward is a manager of somebody else's goods or resources. You are a steward of the gift God has given you. Now, how do I know what my gift is? And this is what we're going to do just now. Number one is you can personally experiment with all of them. These are the people that aren't afraid to say yes, right? When you ask them to do stuff, even if they stink at it. But that's good. That's the only way you're going to find out. Another one is seeking counsel from friends. If you've ever had someone come up to you and say, you know what? You do this well. If you ever had someone come up to you and say, you know, I can talk to you. I can't talk to anybody else. You know, they start telling you that you have an ability or a gift. The other one is to do what we're going to do now is to take a spiritual gift inventory. And I would say prayer. You know, you need to ask the Lord to teach you, to show you what you can do for Him. Now, let me say this. We're going to do just an inventory. I'm going to give each of you guys a sheet of paper. And this inventory takes about 20 minutes, about 20 minutes. It's boring. But if you bear with me, I can guarantee you that it'll be better after those 20 minutes, all right? So I'm gonna let's see, how many do I have here? All right, I'll tell you what you're looking at here in a second as he's passing that out. The original. Okay, let me tell you what you're looking at here. Everybody have one that's going to take this? If you look at the top, you've got the numbers 0 through 4. Zero being not at all, one is little, two moderately, three considerably, and four strongly. All I'm going to do is I'm going to go down number one, two, three, four. We're going to do all these. I'm going to read a statement. We need to get one for Bill as well. I'm going to read the statement, and all you need to do is put a number next to the line that corresponds with how you feel about it. Okay? Oh, sorry, I got it right here. So I'm going to ask you a question. Ask the questions. Okay, so I'm going to ask the questions, and all I need for you to do is follow along. Now, notice these numbers. Oh, that's mine. These numbers go down, not across. I'm sharing this from experience. I've had people that go across, and then like, well, wait a minute, what number are we on? So they go down, not across. And so what you need to do is just look at it. Here's the final instructions. Do not overthink the question. If you overthink it, you're going to put the wrong answer down. All this does is at the end we look at it, and it'll give you it may not give you a perfect picture, but it'll give you a pretty good picture of what gifts you've been given by the Lord. So I'm going to read. If I'm going too fast, please tell me. All right? Again, this is not a sermon, so if I'm going too fast, you need to stop me. So let's go. Everybody ready? Okay, number one. I enjoy working behind the scenes, taking care of little details. I enjoy working behind the scenes, taking care of little details. And 0 through 4, whichever number you feel corresponds. Don't overthink it, please. Number two, I usually step forward and assume leadership in a group where none exists. I usually step forward and assume leadership in a group where none exists. Number three, when in a group, I tend to recognize and approach those who are sitting or standing alone. When in a group, I tend to recognize and approach those who are sitting or standing alone. You want to read it again? Okay, I'll read it again. Number three. We're on number three. When in a group, I tend to recognize and approach those who are sitting or standing alone. And you'll put 0 through 4, whichever number goes with your feeling on that one. Number four, I have the ability to organize ideas, people, and projects to reach a specific goal. I have the ability to organize ideas, people, and projects to reach a specific goal. Oh, okay. It's okay. It's 0 through 4. 0 is not at all. 1 is little. 2 is moderately. 3 is considerably, and 4 is strongly. Okay, and that's the number you're going to use. Those numbers that you're going to use to answer that. Do not overthink the question. Do not. You know what? I've been doing this long enough to know what your gift is going to be, probably. Okay. Don't overthink the question. Just take it for what it is. Just take it for what it is. You're answering this about yourself, not when you're at work or at church or at home. Just about yourself. Okay. All right. What number are we on? Number 5. Okay. People often say I have good spiritual judgment. People often say I have good spiritual judgment. Okay, let me slow down a bit here. One of the gifts is wisdom, and I'm sensing a lack on this side here in the spirit. It's just, no, look. Okay, let me stop for a second. Okay. Okay, all right, here, let me stop. Okay. Whenever we do these things, I noticed across the board, if you answer a certain way, you get self-conscious. Or, like for example, this one. People often say, I have good spiritual judgment. You may have good spiritual judgment, but you may not be in a place where people are listening to you talk about it, so it wouldn't fit. That's not it. It's not a judgment of your character. It's just your answer to this statement. Do people say you have good spiritual judgment? Well, yes, they do all the time. Then you put four. Well, you know what? No. Not the reasons why they don't, because you're not in a place where you would, you know. It's just, if they don't, then not at all. So don't overthink it. Don't ask what spiritual judgment is. Oh, my goodness. I mean, good spiritual judgment. Intuition is a female thing. That's not part of this. Okay. Don't overthink it. Just see, I'm trying to please one and I get in trouble with the other. Okay. All right, we're on number six, okay? We're never going to get through this if I have to do it this way, but number six. I am very confident of achieving great things for the glory of God. I am very confident of achieving great things for the glory of God. Seven? More questions. People are pitiful. I'm going to have to separate the two of you, I think. Okay, seven. I often have insights that offer practical solutions to difficult problems. I often have insights that offer practical solutions to difficult problems. Eight. Through my prayers, God has made the impossible possible. Through my prayers, God has made the impossible possible. Number nine. And please tell me if I am going fast, but I'm going to try and rush through this. Number nine is, God has used me to communicate the gospel in a language unknown to me. God has used me to communicate the gospel in a language unknown to me. And just for clarification, we're talking if you don't know Chinese and you start speaking Chinese, and that would, you know, something like that. Not the just in a different language. God has used me to communicate the gospel in a language unknown to me. Number 10. I often understand what the Bible says when others do not. I often understand what the Bible says when others do not. Eleven. I enjoy giving money to those in serious financial need. I enjoy giving money to those in serious financial need. 12. I enjoy ministering to people in hospitals, prisons, or rest homes to comfort them. I enjoy ministering to people in hospitals, prisons, or rest homes to comfort them. 13. I have understood issues or problems in the church and seen answers when others didn't. I have understood issues or problems in the church and seen answers when others didn't. What number are we on? 14. Okay, 14 is, I enjoy encouraging and giving counsel to those who are discouraged. I enjoy encouraging and giving counsel to those who are discouraged. Those that are discouraged. I enjoy encouraging and giving counsel to those who are discouraged. 15. 15 is, I have an ability to thoroughly study a passage of Scripture and then share it with others. I have an ability to thoroughly study a passage of Scripture and then share it with others. 16. I presently have the responsibility for the spiritual growth of one or more young Christians. I presently have the responsibility for the spiritual growth of one or more young Christians, which in this case would include children, your own. Number 17, other people respect me as an authority in spiritual matters. Other people respect me as an authority in spiritual matters. 18, I have an ability to learn foreign languages. I have an ability to learn foreign languages. 19, God often reveals to me the direction He desires the body of Christ to move. God often reveals to me the direction He desires the body of Christ to move. 20, I enjoy spending time with non-Christians, especially with the hope of telling them about Jesus. I enjoy spending time with non-Christians, especially with the hope of telling them about Jesus. 21, whenever I hear reports on the news or in conversation about needy situations, I am burdened to pray. Whenever I hear reports on the news or in conversation about needy situations, I am burdened to pray. What number are we on? 22 is, I have seen my prayers heal people. I have seen my prayers heal people. 23, I enjoy witnessing about Jesus even when others are afraid. I enjoy witnessing about Jesus even when others are afraid. 22 was, I have seen my prayers heal people. And 23 was, I enjoy witnessing about Jesus even when others are afraid. 24, I would like to assist the pastor or other leaders so they will have more time to accomplish their essential and priority ministry. I would like to assist the pastor or other leaders so they will have more time to accomplish their essential and priority ministries. 25, I don't mind asking others to accomplish an important ministry for the church. I don't mind asking others to accomplish an important ministry for the church. It's a delegation question. 26, I enjoy entertaining guests and making them feel at home when they visit. I enjoy entertaining guests and making them feel at home when they visit. What's that, sir? Entertaining guests. I enjoy entertaining guests and making them feel at home when they visit. 27. I am a very organized person who sets goals and makes plans to reach them. I am a very organized person who sets goals and makes plans to reach them. 28 is, I am a good judge of character and can spot a spiritual phony. I'm a good judge of character and can spot a spiritual phony. 29, I often step out and start projects that other people won't attempt, and the projects are usually successful. I often step out and start projects that other people won't attempt, and the projects are usually successful. 30, God has enabled me to choose correctly between several complex options in an important decision when no one else knew what to do. God has enabled me to choose correctly between several complex options in an important decision when no one else knew what to do. 31, am I going too fast or we okay? 31 is, God has used me to make things happen which were far beyond human means. God has used me to make things happen which were far beyond human means. 32, I have successfully communicated with people even though I do not speak their language. I have successfully communicated with people even though I do not speak their language. 33. People appreciate my insight into the meaning of a passage. People appreciate my insight into the meaning of a passage. 34, I joyfully give money to the church well above the tithe. I joyfully give money to the church well above the tithe. 33 is, people appreciate my insight into the meaning of a passage. What's that? Passage, a Bible passage. Yeah. I don't know if you were here earlier. Don't overthink it. Just, you know, whatever comes. What number are we on now? 35. It's all right. I gave her one. You got something the right way? Yeah. What we're going to do at the top, you see 0 through 4, yes. Which one corresponds? We're at 35 right now, so if you start there, we can worry about the rest later. So I'll ask a question and you fill it out, okay? Number 35. 35 is, I feel compassion for people who are hurting and lonely, and I'd like to spend considerable time with them to cheer them up. I feel compassion for people who are hurting and lonely and like to spend considerable time with them to cheer them up. 36, I enjoy studying difficult questions about God's word, and I'm able to find answers easier and quicker than others. I enjoy studying difficult questions about God's word, and I'm able to find answers easier and quicker than others. 37, people often tell me their problems and I encourage them. People often tell me their problems and I encourage them. 38, when a question arises from a difficult Bible passage, I am motivated to research the answer. When a question arises from a difficult Bible passage, I am motivated to research the answer. 39, I like to give of my own free time to meet others' needs. I like to give of my own free time to meet others' needs. 40, I would be willing and excited to start a new church. I would be willing and excited to start a new church. 41, I can adapt easily to culture, language, and lifestyle other than my own, and I would like to use it to minister in foreign countries. I can adapt easily to culture, language, and lifestyle other than my own and would like to use it to minister in a foreign country. 42, and if I'm going, again, am I doing all right speed-wise? Okay. 42, I will always speak up for Christian principles even when what I say isn't popular and people think I'm narrow-minded or hard-headed. I will always speak up for Christian principles even when what I say is not popular and people think I'm narrow-minded or hard-headed. 43 is, I find it easy to invite a person to accept Jesus as their Savior. I find it easy to invite a person to accept Jesus as their Savior. 44, I believe prayer is the most important thing a Christian can do. I believe prayer is the most important thing a Christian can do. 45 is, I enjoy praying for those who are physically and emotionally ill for God to heal them. I enjoy praying for those who are physically and emotionally ill for God to heal them. 46, I have been or would be willing to lay down my life for the gospel. I have been or would be willing to lay down my life for the gospel. 47, I enjoy relieving others of routine tasks so they can get special projects done. What's that? I enjoy relieving others of routine tasks so they can get special projects done. 48, I can guide and manage a group of people toward achieving a specific goal. I can guide and manage a group of people toward achieving a specific goal. 49, I enjoy meeting new people and introducing them to others in the group. I enjoy meeting new people and introducing them to others in the group. What number are we on? We're on number 50. Okay, here's 50. I easily delegate significant responsibilities to other people. I easily delegate significant responsibilities to other people. 51. I am able to distinguish between right and wrong in spiritual matters that other people can't seem to figure out. I am able to distinguish between right and wrong in spiritual matters that other people can't seem to figure out. 52. I trust in God's faithfulness for a bright future, even when everything looks bad. I trust in God's faithfulness for a bright future, even when everything looks bad. 53. I have an ability to gather information from several sources to discover the answer to a question or to learn more about it. I have an ability to gather information from several sources to discover the answer to a question or to learn more about it. 54. God has blessed my prayers so that supernatural results have come from otherwise impossible situations. God has blessed my prayers so that supernatural results have come from otherwise impossible situations. 55 is, language is no barrier for me when I want to talk with people about Jesus. Language is no barrier for me when I want to talk with people about Jesus. 56, people say I make the scriptures easier to understand. People say I make the scriptures easier to understand. 57, I wouldn't mind lowering my standard of living to give more to the church and others in need. Which one did I get to? 56 is people say I make the scriptures easier to understand. And 57 is I wouldn't mind lowering my standard of living to give more to the church and others in need. That's where I stopped. That's 54. Yeah, 54 was that. 58. I want to do whatever I can for the needy people around me, even if I have to give up something. I want to do whatever I can for the needy people around me, even if I have to give up something. 59. I have an ability to gather information from several sources to discover the answer to a question. I have an ability to gather information from several sources to discover the answer to a question. Yep. There's a reason for it. Number 60. I told you this is the hardest part, because you got to listen to me talk for the whole time. Just drone on and on. You want to do jumping jacks and then finish? I'm just checking. What number are we on? 60. Okay, 60 is, I feel a need to challenge others to better themselves, especially in their spiritual growth, without condemning them. I feel a need to challenge others to better themselves, especially in their spiritual growth, without condemning them. 61. Others listen and enjoy my teaching of scriptures. Others listen and enjoy my teaching of scriptures. 62. I enjoy working with people and desire to help them be the best they can for the Lord. I enjoy working with people and desire to help them be the best they can for the Lord. Number 63. I am accepted as a spiritual authority in other parts of the country or world. I am accepted as a spiritual authority in other parts of the country or world. 64. I would like to present the gospel in a foreign language, who in a place, in a country whose culture and lifestyle are different than my own. That was 64. Now, 65. I feel a need to speak God's messages from the Bible so people will know what God expects of them. I feel a need to speak God's messages from the Bible so people will know what God expects of them. 66. I would like to tell others how to become a Christian and give them the invitation to receive Jesus in their life. I would like to tell others how to become a Christian and give them the invitation to receive Jesus in their life. 67. Many of my prayers for others have been answered by the Lord. Many of my prayers for others have been answered by the Lord. 68. God regularly speaks to me concerning people's illnesses so that I can pray for them. God regularly speaks to me concerning people's illnesses so that I can pray for them. 69. Threats on the job, in public or private, will never stop me from sharing my faith in Christ. Threats on the job, in public or private, will never stop me from sharing my faith in Christ. 70. I enjoy helping others get their work done, and I don't need a lot of public recognition. I enjoy helping others get their work done and don't need a lot of public recognition. 71. People respect my opinion and follow my direction. People respect my opinion and follow my direction. 72. I would like to use my home to get acquainted with newcomers and visitors to the church. I would like to use my home to get acquainted with newcomers and visitors to the church. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, so that's good. We're almost there. What number are we on? 73. Here we go. I am comfortable making important decisions even under pressure. I am comfortable making important decisions even under pressure. (clears throat) 74. People come to me for help in distinguishing between spiritual truth and error. People come to me for help in distinguishing between spiritual truth and error. 75. I often exercise my faith through prayer, and God answers my prayer in exciting ways. I often exercise my faith through prayer, and God answers my prayers in exciting ways. We're on 76 now. Okay, 76. God enables me to make appropriate application of Bible truth to practical situations. God enables me to make appropriate application of biblical truth to practical situations. 77. God uses me to work miracles for the glory of His kingdom. God uses me to work miracles for the glory of His kingdom. 78. I have spoken in a language unknown to me that, when interpreted, brought a blessing to those who heard. I have spoken in a language unknown to me that, when interpreted, brought a blessing to those who heard. 79. People often call on me to explain what the Bible means. People often call on me to explain what the Bible means. 80. When I give money to someone, I don't expect anything in return, and I often give anonymously. When I give money to someone, I don't expect anything in return, and often give anonymously. 81. When I hear of people without jobs who can't pay their bills, I do what I can to help them. When I hear of people without jobs who can't pay their bills, I do what I can to help them. 82. I can recognize difficult Bible truths and principles on my own, and I enjoy this. I can recognize difficult biblical truths and principles on my own, and I enjoy this. 83. People will tell me things they won't tell anyone else and say that I'm easy to talk to. People will tell me things they won't tell anyone else and say I'm easy to talk to. 84. I am organized in my thinking and systematic in my approach to presenting Bible lessons to a group of people. That's a long one. Are you organized in presenting Bible studies? 0 through 4. Make that easy. 85. I help Christians who have wandered away from the Lord find their way back to a relationship with Him. I help Christians who have wandered away from the Lord find their way back to a growing relationship with Him. 86. I would be excited to share. I see Pam shaking her hand over there. I'm trying to go through this because I don't want you guys to be bored, because we got to get through this. Okay. I'm sorry. We're almost done, and then the rest will be downhill from here. Okay? I mean, in a good way, like a roller coaster. Not that it's downhill from here in a bad way. Yeah. Yeah, never mind. Okay. We're on 86. 86 is, I would be excited to share the gospel and form new groups of Christians in areas where there aren't many churches. I would be excited to share the gospel and form new groups of Christians in areas where there aren't many churches. 87. I have no racial prejudice and have a sincere appreciation for people very different from myself. I have no racial prejudice and have a sincere appreciation for people very different from myself. 88. I find it relatively easy to apply biblical promises to present-day situations. I find it relatively easy to apply biblical promises to present-day situations. 89. I have a strong desire to help non-Christians find salvation through Jesus. I have a strong desire to help non-Christians find salvation through Jesus. 90. Prayer is my favorite ministry in the church, and I spend a great deal of time at it. Prayer is my favorite ministry in the church, and I spend a great deal of time at it. 91. People often seek me out to pray for their physical healing. People often seek me out to pray for their physical healing. The last one. Thoughts of Jesus outweigh any danger for me when it comes to spreading the gospel. Thoughts of Jesus outweigh any danger for me when it comes to spreading the gospel. Oh, no, don't give it to me. 77. 77 is, God uses me to work miracles for His kingdom. 69. Threats on the job, in public or in private, will never stop me from sharing my faith in Christ. Okay? I know, Kai, you have a few that I'll give you one of these, the question. Okay. All right. Now that you've finished, very, very simple. This is all you need to do. You see this field, this on the side there? Add sideways. Add this first row and just put the number where it says total. So add each side, you know, across, and put in the total. And then when you're done adding all of them up, then you're going to rank them in order of what you got the most points in. You understand? So like, for example, you might have 12 in one line. That's the most. So you say, okay, that would be number one. And then the next one, maybe, well, I got 11 in two places, so they're tied for number two. You know what I mean? So you're just going to rank them in order of what you got the most points in. So add across, put it in the total box, and then rank them by how many points you got. You need help doing what? What do you need? Oh. If they're tied, they're number whatever. Yeah. You need help. You need help. Just. Oh, okay.
That's why I asked you to
repeat
the...
Oh, okay. All right. So we'll... 3, 6, 3. Okay, so... Then I've totaled mine up already. I'm just rank them in order of what you got the most points in. We're not doing the oops thing now. No oops. What's that? They're tied for the rank. So if they're tied for second or third place, whatever they're tied for, that would be it. Okay. All right, so if you look down this line here, this is a rank of the different gifts. Number one being on this test, what you got number one in, you know, that type of thing. Now, I'll give you. Anybody not finished doing their adding and ranks? Okay, I'm gonna grab a water while you're doing that. I'll be right back. Whatever it is, yeah, they're all fourth or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that would work for stained glass. I don't know. Yeah, but the color is gonna look off. That's what I mean. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah. I'm sorry. My sister, how are you? Yes. Yep. I have all that stuff. I can give it to you. But if you listen to what we're talking about, it'll all make sense when you do it. Oh, okay. Oh, then you're the only one. Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else need more time? Somebody didn't make it through grade school, Bill? Need to help adding? Or what do you do for a living? And crayons, man. They make all sorts of degrees with them crayons. Okay, you're done? Okay. All right. Now take a look at what you have. And you'll see whichever one is ranked number one, two, and three, this would be what your top three gifts are. Now, just a disclaimer, this is not perfect because it has to do with whether you overthought the questions or not, but usually 9.5 times out of 10, people say, yeah, I can see that. This has pegged me pretty close, okay? Sometimes it doesn't, but most times it does. Now, here's what I want to do first of all. If someone would be willing, I wish I had a chair. If someone would be willing to just tell me what their number one gift was, we can look at it on the screen and talk about it. And anybody? But giving, okay. All right. Let me. All right. This would be an example of the gift of giving, okay. The gift to take away from yourself and give liberally, humbly, and cheerfully to those in need. An example would be the New Testament believers. Obviously, they gave more than just money, but. Here's a misdirected use of the gift. Giving thinking you are earning God's favor, or giving where you deliberately put your family in a financial bind. Just so you know, for each one of those gifts, I have a Bible study on it. So down here, each one, there's a Bible study on it that you can like take your top three and look it up, and it'll teach you more about it. But giving is more than just money, though. Okay, it's so you have a tenderness though, you want to help people out. It's giving time, resources, you know, your talents, that type of thing. Anybody else with a
teaching?
Teaching. Okay, let's see here. Although that's a pretty self-explanatory one, right? Okay, the gift to explain and clearly, can you see that from there? Oh, I knew that was going to happen. Hold on. Okay, the gift to explain clearly and apply effectively the truth from Christ's point of view in such a way that others learn and get involved in the body of the church. An example is Jesus, the apostles. Misdirected use would be trusting more in your ability than in the Holy Spirit to teach others. And losing your ability to be taught. People that are in positions of teaching, preaching, you can get to the point where, you know, you like a preacher doesn't like to listen to other people preach. Because after a while, they're like, you know, you start to judge the quality of the sermon and not the content. But that's a danger. Anybody else, before we get, anybody else want to share what their number one gift is? Wisdom? Okay. Before we go to wisdom, was anybody surprised by what it says is your number one? I mean, do you have a problem with what it, I mean, Hugh, you're shaking your head? Okay, we're going to get to wisdom in a second, but you, okay. What came up number one? Okay. You don't think you have the gift of exhortation? I would have thought you did. Am I wrong? Let's look up wisdom and then we'll. A gift of wisdom. Anybody see it? Somebody has the gift of eyesight. Gift of wisdom is good judgment to size up a situation, choose the best solution, and put it into action. Example, Solomon, obviously, wisdom. A misdirected use is when you're unwilling to consider the counsel of others. Or you use the gift to advance your own cause, not the cause of Christ. People in leadership positions, they tend to be wise, but they tend to be a little too wise sometimes. You know? Now, I want to, Hugh, you shook your head over there. I want to make sure not to miss that one. But you said you got the gift of exhortation and you don't think that you're that kind of a person? All right, let's look up exhortation. Okay, the gift of exhortation is to give comfort, to help people with present trials, to encourage, urge people to action, to console, to help people with past hurts. What do you do for a living? Huh. Gee. Huh. I wonder what the problem is here. You must have taken that test wrong. You were copying off her, weren't you? Okay, an example is Barnabas. Misdirected use of the gift is more concerned with correcting than comfort. In other words, you know, you're trying to exhort someone to do right, but you're beating them up, saying, you know better, you shouldn't do this, that's really wrong. And then the other problem is when you try to encourage someone in trouble rather than inspiring them to get out of their trouble. So it's the opposite end. In other words, you know someone's got something going on, but you don't give them any words of advice. You're just, oh, it's okay, you know, no problem. So it's trying to find that balance with exhortation. You see, I haven't been here that long, and I would have pegged you for that. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, Hugh, you said you were surprised. What did you get? Yeah. Let's look up hospitality. That's right. I think that's right. Doesn't mean you like it. Gift of hospitality. No, let's look that up. Okay. I got to find it here. Where is it? Here we go. Okay, the gift of hospitality is the gift to make strangers, lonely or needy, welcome in your home. To provide them with food, friendship, or shelter. You just mentioned after church about the concern of people who don't have food. Okay? That shows that you have the gift of hospitality. An example is Abraham. He couldn't have anybody pass by without making sure that, you know, they were invited to eat or taken care of. And so... It's an opportunity. Here's the things to watch out for. It's an opportunity for members to impose on you. Sometimes they can take advantage. Or sometimes people use hospitality as a way to organize groups of resistance within the church rather than groups for fellowship and study. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes somebody will come and say, hey, come to my house. We'll feed you. And then you bring them in and you tell them about how the pastor is a dog. You know, don't believe a word he says. So there's the balance. Okay, how many of you think Hugh has the gift of hospitality? All right. Okay, so now let me do this. Let's do this. I want to pass something out to you, okay? I don't know if I have enough here. This is where the seminar would end if I just said, your gift, match it up with certain roles in the church and see how you can help the church, okay? But I don't want to do that. I want to challenge you to do something greater. All right? For example, let me ask you, Pam. What do you like to do? In other words, I mean, just what do you love to do? What is a hobby or a passion that you have? Your passion is your work? Okay. So... The challenge that I would present to you and to everybody is a way to combine your passion with your gift. So yours was wisdom and yours was exhortation, and there are probably others in there as well. But the ability then to use it as a ministry for Jesus as opposed to just your job. Okay, yours, to be honest, is a little bit easier because you're in the healing business, you're in the helping business, so it's easy to, you find someone, they've got a health problem, you can encourage them, you know what I mean, and probably it's not allowed at your work, but the opportunity to talk about spiritual things or to even offer to pray with them, you know, so you're carrying out that ministry. That is a ministry. It's not just a coincidental thing you do. Let me ask somebody else. What do you love to do, Bill? I mean, what do you like to do? Not.
In general.
Yeah, in general. If you had 2 days off and you could do anything you want, what would you do?
I won't say the obvious.
What do you like to do? Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm like that. Socialize? Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there a way, what was your gift? Giving?
Yeah.
Well, did you have a tie, or did you have, what was your second?
Second was teaching.
Teaching. So, giving, teaching, and hospitality. Okay. Is there a way, then, that you could combine your like to socialize with people with teaching, giving, and hospitality, with the intent that you're now doing it as a something for the Lord. When you get groups of kids together and you do things with them of a spiritual nature, pathfinders or youth groups, or you plan an outing, I don't know, let's say bowling.
Yeah.
there are a couple things that I want to make the point of, and that is this, is that sometimes we're carrying out doing things and we think that, hey, we got a good idea. When what's happening is you're already combining your passion and your gift. It's not work when you combine your passion and your gift. If I as the pastor showed up at a meeting and I said to you, I said, hey folks, guess what? We're going to start a soup kitchen. And you people are like, well, yeah. And I really pushed it to the point where you said, okay, let's do it. And then I say, okay folks, guess what? I'm being transferred. I'm taking a call to Timbuktu. And if I leave, what's going to happen to the soup kitchen? It's going to fall apart because I pushed it. But what happens then if you say to the church, what is your gift and what do you love to do? What do I need to do as the pastor of the church to help you accomplish your ministry? Now, if the pastor leaves, what happens to the ministry? It keeps going. So that's the whole point of what this whole thing is about. It's not about just enlisting you to serve me. It's enlisting you to do what God has already called you to do. We did this at one place, and this lady blew my mind. She said, my gift is, I forgot what she said. I think she said it was miracles, if I'm not mistaken. And I said, what do you love to do? And she says, I love to shop. I love shopping. And I'm scratching my head because I'm a firm believer that you can combine your passion with your gift. I really am. I believe it, and I couldn't figure it for the life of me. But then one of the other people in the group said, well, why don't you, if you like to shop, why don't you shop for shut-ins? Why don't you shop for shut-ins? You get to shop, you use other people's money. That's a miracle to me. but so see, now it has nothing to do with the pastor. It has nothing to do with the church. But what if then the church paid to put a little ad in the Penny Saver? You know, do you need shopping done? The for example, the Joy of Choice Seventh-day Adventist Church will offer to help get your groceries. The church isn't doing the work. It's the person who likes to do it. But it's through the church. So then they'll say, hey, so-and-so does this. So you see what I'm saying? Now it's like the church now gets to get the word out that this is what we do. This is who we are. And it's not, you're not bending, twisting people's arms to do stuff. You see what I'm saying? So let me ask, is there anybody here that wants to share what their gift is and what their passion is? Come on, Pedro, what you got?
The first
one
was
okay. The second one was, okay, we did teaching and wisdom. Let's look up discernment. And although that's pretty, I think that's self-explanatory myself too, but let's go here and see. The gift of discernment. All right, it's the gift to supernaturally penetrate and see through outward appearances and name true sources of motivation. Paul with Ananias and Sapphira. Misdirected use is to be perpetually suspicious of everybody and to also to have a spirit of superiority. You know, it's like you got to pass my muster before I do anything. Now, okay, what do you love to do? What do you, I mean, no, just, what do you love? You love sports. Okay. So it wouldn't be any, okay, so what was your other gifts to? Teaching? Okay. So let's talk about teaching for a second. Is there a way that you could combine your passion for sports with teaching? Is there a way to do, you know, like, okay, for example, something I thought about a while back. If, for example, the church sponsored a free throw shooting contest, a three-point contest at a local park here, you know, we give away some prizes for people to come. But as they come, it's sponsored by the church, and guess who's going to be the one that's going to take an object lesson of shooting a basketball to give like a 5-10 minute devotion? You see what I'm saying? The church doesn't, whatever it may be, but what I'm saying is you would have to put it together and then you do the speaking on it. Would that be work for you or would you enjoy that? Do you get what I'm saying? All I'm saying to you is if you really want to find joy in serving God, you need to find a way to put the two together. Now, my job is to help you. So, like, we're talking here, but you can approach me privately. We can spend some time talking about it. My goal is to help you accomplish your goal, whatever it may be. And it's not the same for everybody. But if the church can help you in any way, then, you know, that's what we're here to do. But oftentimes I find that a lot of these things don't cost hardly any money, and it's not work if you love it. See, my thing is sports too. I love basketball. I would love to do a like that. Just what I said, rent a park out, have competition, and put it on behalf of the church, get up and preach a little bit, but let them play. You know, it'd be great. But anyways, so we've been here for a little bit now. I don't want to wear you guys out. So let me ask you, are there any questions? Man, you guys are good students, or I'm a really bad teacher. How does it affect your church? I think. Well, okay. So for instance, if you spend some time thinking about what you love and what you're gifted, and you come up with an idea, the you don't need the church's permission to do it. But if the church can help you do it, so. You know, I I'm not as creative as I probably should be, but for example, if you wanted to do, like we were talking about this sports thing, okay, somebody else is going to organize it, they're going to put it together, but hey, you know, we'd like to get some advertising to put it in the paper, let's approach the church for that. So it's sponsored now by the church. So the church has, you're a member of the church, you're doing ministry in the name of the church, but the actual physical labor is done by the people that love it. You see what I'm saying? So that's how it will impact the church. Whatever plans the church has, it shouldn't derail it unless the church finds that, hey, we're headed in the wrong direction. But it should enhance the ministry of the church. So whatever is planned right now, it shouldn't change that. It should be just added to it. And as you do that, it's the relationship, those relationships that are built. When those people come to Jesus, there's a higher percentage that they stay in the church than the strangers that come in. And then they leave, so. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Yes, on right here on this pew in front of you, all the different gifts, there's a Bible study you can take. And there are two pages. Some are front and back, or some are, you know, two pages, just the way the copier that I printed them on. I'm also going to give you, each one of you can have one of these, and then you pick whatever you want, if any of these down here. This is a breakdown of a spiritual gifts with a ministry within the church. So, like, if you have the gift of helps and service, there's a different thing that you might want to consider. So this gives you some ideas, but it's by no means exhaustive. Okay? So if you take one and pass it around, if they're not enough, I'll give them out. And I'm going to... Yeah. How about it? Has to be, yeah. It's work if we get somebody else to do it. It's not work if somebody does it. You know, and we just basically just pretty much support it. Does it make sense what I've been talking to you about here? I mean, is it, I hope that you at least have found that part worthwhile, even if you had to muddle through those 90 some odd questions. This is not an excuse to stop doing stuff. Okay. Does everybody have one, or do I need to pass out more? We good? Okay. Well, then why don't we have prayer together, and then free to do what we need to do here. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the gifts that you give us. I thank you, Lord, that really serving you was not meant to be drudgery or for us to feel like we're somehow victims or slaves, but you have called us. And you've gifted us. So I pray that each one of us will spend some time thinking about that. What do you want us to do, Lord? Show us. And thank you for creating a passion inside of us for these different things so that it's really not drudgery when we do what we love anyways. In Jesus' name I pray.